I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to We Stand Together, an academic pop culture symposium.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. We're smart people talking dumb topics. We're the professors of pop culture, I would say.
I would say that's true, Caitlin Bitsagai.
Thank you, Lauren Brickman. This has been a thesis, a hypothesis that has been proven.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, despite this kooky intro, you know, we have master's degrees and are to this day teaching at the college level.
Yeah. Are people learning at the college level?
I don't know, but I just got my contract re-upped. So we're doing it again this fall, baby.
Contract extension. For being a professor.
Yep.
I read about that.
They haven't stopped me yet. Yeah. They haven't stopped me
yet. I saw
it
on ESPN this morning, your contract extension. People are really excited.
Well, you know what else I'm excited about? It's being a stan.
Yeah.
Being an obsessive fan. Caitlin, what are you standing this week?
You know, I got a weird one. A wild one.
I see it. I see it in the show notes, and I'm already embarrassed for you.
It's out of character. It's Green Day. The band.
I can't.
Because as followers of my social know, I went on Wednesday to the concert at Citi Field called the Hella Mega Tour. I'm sorry, I didn't name it, but it was Weezer and Green Day, and it was supposed to be Fall Out Boy, but Fall Out Boy got COVID. So,
oh no.
Oops.
Oh.
So they did not perform. I liked the Green Day concert, guys. I went at the invite of a friend, wouldn't have chosen to do this on my own, but honestly, they were great live and I recommend them. go to see the Hella Mega Tour, folks. It's coming to a city near you.
I love that for you. I was supposed to see Green Day in high school, but the 2 days before I was going to buy my tickets, I got a speeding ticket, and it was for the same cost of the ticket, or like the ticket to the concert. So my parents were like, guess you're paying a speeding ticket and not going to Green Day.
Wow. That feels like a parenting moment from a 90s show. Where, like, for some reason they got Green Day to be a guest star too. So, like, your best friend goes to the Green Day concert. Wow. Yeah. Well, so you've been standing Green Day for a while, but what are you currently standing?
I'm currently standing the fact that y'all, sometimes when you log into Netflix, you don't know it, but a show you really like drops a new season.
Ooh, that's a fun feeling.
It was so fun. I logged in the other night and, oh boy, Control Z season 2 dropped. And if you're like, Control Z, what is that? Well, let me tell you, folks. Control Z is a Mexican teen drama.
Okay.
And whoo, it's Gossip Girl, but so much darker. It is so much darker. Season 1 was all about a hacker that exposes big secrets, and it causes like panic and humiliation, and it's wild. And season 2, we had an Avenger, because of course season 1 wreaked havoc, and of course season 2 is about trying to, you know, work through the guilt and the anger of what happened. It's so good. I've already finished the entire thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I have no control when I binge watch Control.
I was going to say, have you ever just watched one episode of anything? Has it ever happened?
It has when I'm watching something in real time and there's no choice to keep
You don't have the ability, right?
Yeah. When the ability to not binge watch is taken away from me, then I have no choice. And sometimes I don't have the willpower to wait. Like, I was going to wait and not watch Roswell. The new season of Roswell also dropped recently. And I told myself, I was like, I'm going to wait till all the episodes are out. And then I can just binge it, because that's how I feel comfortable. I have no self-control, and I'm just watching it every week.
Wow.
And that's my truth. That's where I'm at. Anyways, feeling really good about where I am. Thanks, Control Z season 2. I hope there's 20 more seasons.
You know what we always want more of as well?
Today's guest.
That's right. Please welcome Morgan Miller.
Yes, I'm here.
She's been here the whole time, folks.
She should
Can you
be
believe
waiting.
It?
I was like, should I laugh or be quiet? And also, I never thought that doing a podcast.
We're the first funny podcast Morgan Miller's been on.
I do a lot of dramas, a lot of mystery, a lot of true crime.
Right. Yeah, you did like Serial season 1.
That's one thing I know about you. You've solved a lot of cold cases.
And they're all on podcasts. You can't find one of them. Mm-hmm. Not a lick of them are on TV.
We gotta get a meeting with Netflix or something.
No, they're like, stay on radio. Radio? Where am I? I'm in the yeah. I'm in the 20s. Yep. I'm in the 20s. Did it even exist in the 20s? Oh my god.
We are starting off hot today, folks. I love it. It dawns on me that we have once again invited someone on the podcast without telling them the theme of today's episode.
No idea.
Yeah, this is a fun habit we've fallen into, but I'm pretty excited because famously, Morgan, you host Famously Dumped.
Yeah, I do.
And I was inspired because I was listening to the episode with friend of the podcast, Pat Reagan, where you famously called him famously gay. And while I was
this is all famous. This is so famous.
Which is the joke, because I'm not.
So that inspired me. And so today our theme is lesbian breakups and makeups on TV and film.
Oh my god, peg my ass. Get me out there. Fucking tell the world I'm a dyke and let's roll, baby.
No, we always like, I feel like you've already shared your credential in that moment, but we always like to let our audience know sort of our credentials on the topic so they understand why we've self-proclaimed ourselves as professors on this topic. For me, I have one, you know, I was realizing former guest of the show, Raquel Powell, We did a show together many, many years ago where we, it was basically, if you know the musical Last 5 Years, where they like you see a relationship from the end and the beginning at the same time. We basically did that, but without music, and we were played lovers, and we got to watch our relationship fall apart together. And that was a beautiful artistic experience.
Can we see this anywhere?
Unfortunately, it was not filmed. It was not filmed for posterity. I think I have the script somewhere, though. So maybe Rocky and I should bring it back and do a, you know, 20 years later, where are they now? Cast reunion.
I love that. Mike Kelton and I did a show like probably 9 years ago. And we've always been like, when one of us really like breaks through and becomes like semi whatever, we're going to bring it back and just do it. And it was called Everything Makes Sense, and none of it made sense. And we submitted it to BS Bank at UCB Theater, and they were like, okay, great, right. We have notes. And Mike and I were like, we don't need notes, honey. We just took it to another theater because we were like, this is so crazy that the amount of notes.
Then UCB closed. You have to
wonder if they had just greenlit that show.
Look at the chronology. Rebuking Morgan Miller's show. Closing.
10 years later, closed.
That's how it works.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, Caitlin, what's your credential this week?
You know, I did set out in this episode when we decided on the theme, I was like, don't talk about Rosie O'Donnell too much, but I'm going to fail. And my credit is that I did perform with Rosie O'Donnell, as did you, Lauren, as a part of the female gaze at UCB, which then closed later. We have to see a pattern. But this was, it relates to her breakups and makeups because she had just gotten divorced the second time and was living downtown, which is part of the reason she said yes.
You love a celebrity that's like, yeah, as long as it's in my own backyard.
Literally, they have drivers. Yeah. Like, they don't have, there's nothing to get anywhere for them, but it's still just like, well.
All right. Well, I feel like it's pretty clear that everyone on this Zoom call right now is an expert in lesbian makeups and breakups.
What's my credential? Just that I'm a dyke?
Well, definitely that you said that twice.
I also feel like it was, I was also going to say, because, you know, you've hosted this podcast
about being breaking okay, up cool, and things yeah. like. Yes.
Yeah, bro. that was my thought.
But it can be whatever you want it to be.
But if there's anything else you want to add.
Well, we're talking pop culture. This has come up lately, which is wild. But I'm a big fan of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I'm a huge fan. I'm part of Bachelor Nation. And of course. And my biggest credential is in the past year, I've hooked up with one of the Bachelor contestants.
What?
I mean, that's probably the biggest credential ever shared on this show.
Yeah, she was on it. She was on it like 10 years ago. She was on it a long, long time ago. But, and now is gay and out and all that kind of stuff. But when that happened, when she told me that, and then we hooked up and then after we hooked up in bed, I was like, I can't believe I'm hooked up with someone on The Bachelor.
Was she like, I get that a lot?
Yeah,
like,
she was super self-aware. She was super self-aware and super funny about it. And like she was really funny. She was like, was that on your bucket list? And I was like, it wasn't, but it is now.
Kind of.
And it crossed it off.
Definitely will be mentioned in your obituary. Yes,
absolutely. But yeah, that's oh, maybe man. My credential.
I'd say
that's
so.
Iconic. That's truly iconic. Wow. I love that for you. I love that for us. I love that for everyone. It's a great credential. Well, now I'm even more excited to roll into our next game because clearly, Morgan, this is a topic you're going to know so much about. But we have a game today called Name That Dump.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you details about a famously failed relationship. And I'm going to see if you can guess who the dumpies are that I'm speaking of. So I'm going to give you some details and you're going to try to guess who these famous ladies are. And yeah, you're going to name that dump.
Oh,
and we'll see how many of these dumps you can name.
This is horrible. I must preface that I'm recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. So my memory is so fucking bad. And I don't know the names of celebrities, but I'm going to crush this. Let's do it. Let's do
nonetheless. You're going to absolutely crush this. I believe in you. All right. So here's the first one. Can you name this dump? This former Disney
every
star.
Time you say it, it's insane. Name the dump. All right. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's fine. This former Disney star's first public girlfriend was a Victoria's Secret angel. The two were photographed together a ton, and now we are thankful that in the archives of their brief relationship, we have an iconic churro-eating photo. Can you name this dump?
Well, this old Disney star is Miley Cyrus.
You got one of them. It's her first public girlfriend.
Fuck. I'm so, honestly, I'm amazed that I got Miley Cyrus.
Already you've got
here's
a point.
What I'm going to say, and it's not right. Kristen Stewart.
You know what? It's shocking that that isn't true, because let me tell you, when I was doing my research, Kristen Stewart is linked to lots of folks
right?
out there.
She's six degrees separation. So I was like, maybe.
Yeah. No, that's a great mm-hmm. guess. But Miley's first public girlfriend was actually Victoria's Secret angel Stella Maxwell.
Oh, right. Mm. Oh, right. Kristen Stewart wasn't a Victoria's Secret angel. Yes. Okay, got it. Yes, Stella Maxwell. Okay.
But a great guess nonetheless. All right. So we'll give you 1 point on the board for getting Miley, which was great. All right. Now, this next dump was never officially confirmed as a romantic relationship. However, most gossip blogs have a lot of evidence to suggest they were together. And this turbulent tale dates all the way back to 2015, when an up-and-coming actress starred in the in this music industry heavy hitter's music video right before the actress's career catapulted due to the film Creed. So, a woman who was in Creed, who dated a very famous musician around 2015. Can you name that dump?
Jesus Christ. In Creed's music video?
No. The movie Creed. Sorry, I can see now how that was confusing. No, the actress starred in her alleged girlfriend's music video. That's how they met. And shortly after she was in the video, her career took off. Oh.
Creed, the Michael B. Jordan movie.
Yeah. Oh.
She plays his love interest. But I like your idea better.
I do too.
I mean, God, it skyrocketed their career. I don't have no idea. You're probably going to tell me and I won't even know the names of these people. Are they super famous?
I feel like they are. And one of them has been making a lot of headlines recently.
Kristen Stewart.
Yep. It's two Kristen Stewarts.
Again, not a bad guess, but this was actually Janelle Monáe and Tessa Thompson.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Love. Did not, would never.
All right.
All right. Let's go again.
All right. So here's another one. Now, this is a true icon. She's been around for a long time, but her relationship in 2011 famously ended after 9 years when her partner allegedly found out that this rock star was carrying on an affair with one of the Nurse Jackie co-creators.
What the hell? That is drama.
This is a real iconic rock star, heavy hitter in the world of music. And her partner left her after 9 years when she cheated on her. The detail of it being a co-creator of Nurse Jackie was just what really set me off.
This is a rock star?
Mm-hmm. I would call this woman a rock star for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. Nurse Jackie, I know nothing about. So that's not
fair
helping
enough.
Me.
No one does. Yeah. Even we don't.
So basically the information you're giving me is this person's a rock star. And
yes.
they were dating for 11 years and then their partner cheated on them with...
No, they cheated on their partner. Rock star cheated on their partner. This happened back in 2011. This rock star had already been famous for so long. Like, there's no way in hell you were alive in the 90s and you weren't singing into a hairbrush to this woman's hits.
Okay.
And her ex is an actor, but you're not going to know her. I'll just tell you right now.
So I don't know her ex, but I do. So here's all I know is that this person was a rock star in 2011 and gay and openly gay.
Mm-hmm. Has been openly gay for many decades.
It's one of her main things.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she's often reduced to that label, though she is so much more.
And less. And so much less in other ways.
If it helps you, when I was in seventh grade, I saw her in concert.
Oh, that's helpful. We know it's not Green Day.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I don't know if Courtney Love is gay, but I have a feeling in a world that she was, but I also know that's not right. So you have to tell me. I don't know. I'm so bad at this.
All right. Well, Melissa Etheridge cheated on her partner, Tammy Lynn Michaels, with the co-creator of Nurse Jackie. Oh. And that's something I can't stop thinking about. So I am going to force everyone else to think about Melissa it now.
Etheridge. Okay. I wasn't a diehard fan and I wasn't singing into the hairbrush.
Oh, no.
Wasn't a diehard fan. Well, also,
guess we had different childhoods.
Here's also the deal. Incredibly closeted at that time. And so potentially
so you weren't
not yeah. I wasn't aware because I wasn't trying to seek out who that makes who's sense. The gays that in makes 2011. Sense. I was on the straights.
Fair
I was
enough.
On the straights page. So so I'm not trying to say excuses for me here, but
No, I get that. I get that. I guess, you know, we weren't all seeing Melissa Etheridge live in seventh grade. I get it. Like
yeah, Lauren, you were very secure in your heterosexuality, in fact, because you could just be like, oh, I can go to this. No one's going to think anything.
No. I saw it was Melissa Etheridge and I think like Blessed Union of Souls.
Oh, God.
Like, maybe LFO. It was a weird and summer LFO. Fest. It was a bizarre like day-long concert. Anyways, good times. All right, we got two more for you to guess. I'm confident you're going to get these. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
So in March 2016, this French singer and actress told W Magazine that she was very, 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 very in love and very happy in a relationship with an actress best known for turning into a vampire. But 2 months later, these two live birds were Splitsville.
Okay. It's Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
And she dated,
now she has dated a lot, but this was the French singer that she dated.
Was it Alicia something?
No, but I'm sure that she did date an Alicia.
Who was it? She was hot.
You got.
She was hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's Soko, right?
Yeah!
Hey! Wow!
Yeah. Soko and K-Stu.
There we go.
Nailed it.
All right. Last one, and then you will pass this course.
I've not passed it at all, but yes, let's go.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to say Kristen Stewart again, whatever it is. Okay, let's do it.
All right, so this famous orthopedic surgeon said to her pediatric surgeon wife, I am constantly trying to fix us, and it's been killing me slowly, before ending their marriage for good 6 years ago. Can you name that dump?
Oh, my God.
I will be honest and say these are a fictional couple from a TV show.
What? Are they from Grey's Anatomy?
They are. Yes. Yes,
it's
they are.
It's definitely from Grey's Anatomy. Yes.
It's definitely from Grey's Anatomy.
It was the blonde in Grey's Anatomy who also was in love with the guy that became a ghost at one point. Right? The blonde.
Hasn't happened yet. It will.
No. Two different blondes.
Okay. But it was also the voluptuous... I know the other one was the voluptuous. I think she's Latina. Is she?
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
Yes. Yeah. So I know it was her and she hooked up with, so I'm not going to know the names, but I do know the characters.
Okay.
And so she hooked up with it was the blonde that was in the dresses movie.
No, that's Izzy. Izzy. No. The other blonde has very famous parents. in real life, not on the TV show.
This is okay. It is better that you gave me the fictitious names. I do remember because I remember watching the scenes. Obviously, I don't remember the face of the other person. Clearly, I was checking out that other girl. I'm not going to know. But I know, you know what I mean? I think you should give me some points because it's there.
You definitely have points. You definitely have points because you definitely described them.
I got it was Grey's Anatomy.
You knew it was the blonde and you knew it was the brunette. You knew a lot about them. And their names are Callie and Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Calzona.
That's right. Okay, I got it.
And, you know, I really shoehorned that one in here, but we couldn't do this episode without having a moment to, you know, pay tribute to two women I miss every single day.
No, that was a big one.
Even though they're not real.
That was a big one.
Even though they're not real, I miss them. And yeah. The best thing that Grey's Anatomy could do for all of us at this time in the world is bring them back.
And
right. Or get their own spinoff in New York.
Stop a spinoff.
Calzona.
I'm sweating.
And they start just an LGBT nonprofit pop. I was gonna say a pop-up hospital, which is insane.
Could be a good idea.
But listen, I'm full of good ideas. So
well, they're gonna have to name it the Morgan Miller Pop-Up Institute. And in honor of what a great idea. Well, Morgan, I think you passed the test. Right. You definitely got, you got 1, 2, 3. We're going to give you 4 points on the board and say you've passed Name That Dog. Good job.
Amazing. Woo! Yeah. Okay, great. I think, thank you for letting me pass that.
You passed. We're gonna take a quick break and see if we can count all of Kristen Stewart's ex-girlfriends. I don't know if I can count that high, but we're gonna go try, and we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
We are back. I'm still counting. I'll let you know if I ever stop counting Kristen Stewart's ex-girlfriends. In the meantime, Caitlin, you have something that you've been thinking about for years that we just finally needed to give you space to talk about it.
Yes. And I did mention up top, I didn't want to talk about Rosie O'Donnell too much, but I will. Here's the thing. I am a Rosie stan. I know all of her problems better than people that hate her. she's got some foibles. She's frankly very annoying these days, but I do think Trump drove her actually insane. Yeah. But my thesis is that Kelly Carpenter O'Donnell, her ex-wife, needs to do the world a service and reunite with Rosie, because Rosie has not had good years since this divorce. So to give you some background, Rosie O'Donnell, 1995, adopted her baby Parker, who's now an adult, and he's like really obsessed with the military. Then she meets Kelly, and together they adopt Chelsea, Blake, and then in 2002, Kelly gives birth to Vivi. They get married in 2004, like right when you could get legally married in San Francisco, but that was annulled by a state court or something. So that's actually the only time they were legally married, which I didn't realize. And then they separated in 2007. So during those years, we've got the Rosie O'Donnell show. Amazing. We have her retiring from that and just doing her own weird blog that I loved and checked every day. It was rosie.com. She would do weird poetry. She would show you her art, including she got obsessed with these little dolls called Munis, and she would just decorate them like dozens a day, like just absolute manic stuff. And right before kind of Twitter and Instagram took off, she had a part of her website called Ask Ro, which was basically Twitter for just Rosie O'Donnell. And you could interact with her. It was genius stuff. Then we have her first years on The View, which some of the most famous television of all time and should be. These are great years. Then they break up in 2007. Now, what have we had since 2007? We've had the return of the Rosie show, which was weird.
Yeah.
We have her acting, which she is a good actor, but I just think the roles she chooses are always kind of like a bummer. Why she doesn't really just do comedy, I don't know. Then in 2015, and this ends very tragically, she gets married again to this woman named Michelle Rounds, who has since passed away. But she does a stand-up special that's also very bad, called Rosie O'Donnell, A Heartfelt Stand-Up, where she talks about her heart problems and also some of, like, she was just obsessed with how hot Michelle was. Like, that was her only interest in the whole situation, which is cool, but why do you have to marry that person and adopt a baby named Dakota? So they get divorced. Yeah, it's kind of weird. She doesn't like her adult children, I believe. She likes Parker, but she doesn't really want to be around him. Chelsea, there's been a lot of issues. Blake is just MIA. I don't know. She still likes Vivi pretty well. And Dax, of course, is number one. Dax is taking the number one position. So I really feel like Kelly was the key to the good years. And so we need her back. Now, what has Kelly been up to, you might be wondering? Well, I looked up her Instagram. And she is married to a woman named Anne Steele, who she met on one of the Rosie family cruises, which Kelly was actually the president of that company. And Anne Steele's a former Broadway performer, which is quite a new wife to have when your ex is Rosie. Like, that's a lot. I stalked her on Instagram a bit. She seems to be doing very well and thriving, and she still seems to talk to Blake because he's in her IGs. Is Kelly happier now without Rosie? 100%, obviously. We know this. But am I? No. And that's why I need Kelly to get back together with Rosie. And I know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be hard, but she needs to do it.
Okay, so for that to happen.
Yes, thank you.
Kelly would have to break up with the current.
Right, which is totally unnecessary. They seem very happy.
Well, we don't know. You know what I mean?
We don't know.
We don't know. Instagram's not real life. And I think the more you push that you're happy on Instagram, the less happy you are. Fun. That's my little theory that I have. The more holding hands, kissy pictures, the less you actually love each other. but that's just me, who's jaded and been dumped. But I think that, okay, so she would have to break up with current. And then is Rosie ever come out publicly that she would want to get back with?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
there's a lot of convincing.
But the evidence is there, I'll say. The evidence is there that Rosie was better with, you know, and what they say about every lesbian is behind one lesbian is a strong female lesbian that is running the show.
Yes.
And I want to just do a shout out for marrying hot people, because really quickly, I just want to say, you know, yeah, in a world where I'm very unemotionally available, marriage to a hot person sounds nice. But I think a lot of things would have to fall into place. But listen, I'm a Tetris fan. Okay, so let's like Tetris it up. Let's fucking figure it out. Let's put the pieces together. I'm on board with it, Caitlin. I'm on board with it.
Thank you, Morgan. Thank you. We've got Morgan's buy-in. Lauren, do you believe in the power of Kelly's love?
I would love to see these two get back together. I'm with you. I agree. I think we could all use reunions. They say you can't go home, but I think you can. And I wanna see these two women come home to each other. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know Rosie's beautiful on TikTok?
Oh,
yeah.
And she's commenting on like smaller accounts and being like, yeah, like being like watching them and being like, oh, this is fun, this is funny and all that.
Oh yeah. I think I did try to get Rosie to duet me on TikTok, and it didn't go over. She didn't do it. I was like the one person she didn't respond to.
She might eventually.
Her big thing is like, she's always like, TikTok, you don't stop. That's like, I feel like that's her little
she
saying.
She loves saying shit like that. I mean, that is, yeah, gonna make her so happy.
All right, well, yeah, my opinion's changed. We can't be saying TikTok don't stop. Come on now. All right, she doesn't deserve to get back together with that. Can you imagine if I was like one catchphrase and I'm like, you don't deserve happiness. Yeah, she's struggling, if that's where I know her from right now, currently.
She does apparently have a couple of different projects in the works over at Showtime, I think. Oh. She's got like a deal over there.
For Scripted?
I think so. Yeah. Because she was on that show MILFs. And
yes,
I think that she was well-received.
She was great in that.
And I think, yeah.
I liked her on MILF. I liked that show. But it went to shit because
there's some toxicity issues.
Yeah, that was, that's some drama.
When Britney Spears, I guess when that doc came out or when she testified, I can't remember, Rosie posted support by what she clearly did is she Googled Britney Spears on Rosie O'Donnell show, then clicked on images and took a screen grab of that.
Britney did?
Yeah.
No, Rosie did. Rosie and then did. Rosie just posted like free God. Britney. But it was like instead of just posting one of the pics,
right,
she just took a screen grab of all of the pics.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So like the Google page? Oh my
yes,
God.
The grid, that yes, the grid, yes.
That's unhinged. But like in my yes head, I'm like, maybe she's just trying to parallel how unhinged Britney seems. So we're kind of right being on the same page about that.
And maybe her point is like, if I'm this crazy and I don't have a conservator.
Then exactly. Because like, that's
Britney yes,
exactly. Because that's
fair,
unhinged.
That is a fair point.
That's unhinged. I will say, just to throw in another brag, I've been to 5 Britney Spears concerts.
What?
Mm-hmm.
5?
I've only been to 1.
I've never been to any. Oh my God, too many Lauren speeding tickets.
You keep getting the speeding ticket.
But as far as Rosie and Kelly, I would like to see Rosie and Kelly get back together. I think thank that's you a happy ending that America needs right now.
Right.
Gratefully.
Thank you. And speaking of what America needs right now, I think it's time to play another game.
Okay.
But this one is a little bit more imaginative. Yes. Morgan, we're going to tap into your love of The Bachelor and your passport carrying of Bachelor Nation, because we're going to play a game we call Pitch Fire. This is the lesbian dating competition show version. So there's never been like a great lesbian dating competition show. And there hasn't been a lot of lesbian reality shows in general. Like, I guess there's Tampa Bay's is coming out, which sounds exciting. It is about Tampa lesbians, just like I did need to know. But it's going to be like a follow show. Mm-hmm. And for gay men, there's been Finding Prince Charming and Boy Meets Boy. Season 8 of Are You the One had only sexually fluid contestants. There was, of course, Tila Tequila.
I was gonna say, Tila Tequila was one of the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we need like a Bachelor style show for lesbians. So we're going to pitch it right now. So Morgan, what network should this be on?
I also want to shout out for The Real L Word. That was also
Oh yeah.
A good one. The call. That was really good. Really good. And that really helped me with my sexuality as well. So what network is this on? Everyone's going to want to say MTV, but absolutely not. I don't think that's where this should land. It would probably fall on Netflix, but then it would be like brushed over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if it's on a major network like Bachelor Nation is like ABC, then I think all the middle America assholes aren't going to really take to it. So we got to find a middle ground here. Peacock. Just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just going to add nothing. Wow. No one watches that.
I love that.
That would be a bold one. That could drive subscriptions.
It could. I think where it could catch and where it actually could land, where it's sort of edgy enough and there's like enough sort of people that are like, I think HBO, we got to go HBO Max.
Nice.
I love that. Yeah, HBO Max. And HBO Max is delving its feet into like unscripted dating stuff right now. They just dropped one that's like on an island or something. Yeah. So I think the door's open.
Well, yeah, they have Fuckboy Island.
Yeah.
Glazer.
Oh, that's right. Fuckboy Island. And then there's a surfing one coming out on ABC that looks really good too.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay. So what's our format for this show? Is it a traditional Bachelor style show or is there a twist? Is there some sort of other component?
Okay. So here's the deal. This is why there's never been, in my opinion, a gay Bachelor or Bachelorette. Because all the contestants are going to hook up with each other. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. All the contestants are going to be like, okay, there's the Bachelorette, but look at all these other hot people. And they live in a house together and everybody's drinking a good amount. And so eyes are wandering. So that's why I feel like it's really hard. So the twist for me would have to be that those contestants can't really interact unless they're around the main person that we're trying to get together. Or it has to be some sort of competition show or like Bachelor in Paradise where they're all like on an island. Trying to hook up with whoever, and then they're allowed to hook up with whoever, and then we find out who matches love compatibility wise. So for me, it would either have to be like Bachelor in Paradise, or what I think would be a really cool spin is if the contestants could not interact at all. Except,
I think that's interesting.
When they were hanging out,
I like it a lot.
It's kind of like The Circle.
Kind of like The Circle. Oh yeah,
The Circle meets The Bachelor.
There you go. Yeah. But all I still feel like when they all interacted with the main person, they would still be like, I think, like, I'm going to try more to get more followers. But at the end of this, I'm going to Instagram that girl later and try.
Totally.
But yeah, that's a fun spin, right?
I
like that.
I love it. Who's the host?
Me.
Who's our? Yes. Perfect.
Yes.
Me. Okay. Come on.
Morgan Miller's The Circle meets The Bachelor for Lesbians on HBO Max.
It's got to be me or it's got to be Rosie O'Donnell. We got to bring Rosie O'Donnell back. She needs to come back. This is a strong one. Maybe it'll win back the ex.
maybe it's you two co-hosting.
Oh my God, I would die. I would live. I would laugh. Yes. Or I just want to pull out of the vault. I want it to be Tila Tequila.
Yes.
We either go me.
Wait, I love this. I love this idea of like, Morgan, you're the main host. And then we have a panel of like sage lesbian advisors. And it's like Tila Tequila, Rosie. And I feel like we need one more person that it's like, and here's our sage panel, our panel of sage.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it.
Great. So what are our contestants like? What are their ages? What is there a certain demographic we're going after? Certain occupations?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I think this is fun. Well, I'm so Bachelor heavy in my head, but I would like it to be a wider age range than The Bachelor is. Mm-hmm. Because I think a fun thing in the community is we got some age differences happening, especially in the public eye. There's people dating that are super far apart in age. So I would like the age group to be like, I would say, here's the deal. I don't think anyone that's 24 needs to date anyone. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's happening in your life. or at least this drug addict and alcoholic didn't. But I think we're talking, because I want the love to last forever. So 28 is hard because it's right before your Saturn return, but we'll give you a little bit of a pass on that. So 28 to 49 is what I'm thinking. Wow. Age range.
Okay.
Although for it to be super successful, I think it's got to be 28 to like 39 because people love young people. So there we go. And then the demographic, I think, has to be super like Love Island. I think it needs to be all races, all, I was going to say all genders. I was like, no, it can't be all genders. Yeah, I think it should be pretty diverse, and the age range should be around then. The more ridiculous the occupation, the better, I believe.
Yeah.
But that would have to be probably a spinoff. It's like wacky occupation, bachelor meets the circle. But I think they get to choose what it says as their occupation, because I think that's what they get to do on the bachelor. So like, the girl that I hooked up with 10 years ago, her thing was, she was blogger.
That's amazing.
Which is unbelievable. So yeah, choose your own adventure there, because they were like dental assistant, and it's like, what does that mean exactly? It's like you're the receptionist at a dentist office, I think. So yeah,
I love that.
That's amazing. Okay, so we've got Morgan Miller's The Circle meets The Bachelor for lesbians. If you are 28 to 49, please DM us if you would like to be a contestant on this show. And if you're an HBO Max exec, please DM us, because we'll be putting this together.
Incredible. It's actually insane. We're actually getting a DM somehow right now. So
no, this is not
even though
released.
This is not
just on my hard drive.
But we got to go answer this DM and we'll be right back. Wow. It turns out it was just that intern from HBO Max that accidentally emailed everybody. So false alarm, but hopefully the real executives will be DMing soon. All right, folks, I got to get into something for a second. I think that I have been hesitant to talk about this fandom that I was a part of for a while, because it's gotten some bad press over recent years. But true stans who've been listening to the show, you all know that I was a Buffy the Vampire stan growing
same.
Up. Yeah. I don't know.
Big
yeah.
Time,
right.
Same.
And so as fellow stans, we know that a big part of being a Buffy the Vampire Slayer stan is trauma. Like, it's traumatic on so many levels. The storylines were traumatic. The creator was causing trauma. It's just, there's a lot of trauma to unpack. And folks, you know, I've talked a lot about my love for Seth Green on the show. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know, in eighth grade, I wrote an essay about how much I loved him. Made a collage, and my classmates made fun of me. So that's who I am. That's just like who I am. And today I come to you all with this thesis. There was no greater tragedy on Buffy the Vampire Slayer than them breaking up Willow and Tara. And I, to this day, feel like perhaps one of the many reasons I'm chronically and canonically single is that because Willow and Tara couldn't make it work, I don't believe love can work. Because if Willow and Tara can't have everlasting love, who can? I'm like getting heated just starting to think about this. My blood's like starting to boil. Now, I want to say this first and foremost. As I mentioned, I was a big Seth Green fan. So Oz was my dude. Oz, I thought that there was somehow going to be a way that I, Lauren Brickman, growing up in Edmond, Oklahoma, was going to meet Oz, a fictional character, and we would be in love. Like, this was something I believed. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you all are like, yeah, that tracks. So for me to become a true shipper of Willow and Tara, this was a real journey for me, because I don't think I've ever cried harder than when Oz and Willow broke up. Like, I was unwell. People were like, are you okay? I was like, well, no, Oz is gone and I'm never going to recover. People were checking on me. There were health and safety checks, but I got so on board for Willow because that pivot, that change, that growth, I was so here for it. They were witches together, and they were, Tara taught Willow so much about who she was and like brought out parts of Willow's character that, like, my God, we owe Tara so much. But then they had to go and fuck it up. They had to go and let Willow lose control of her magic. And I'm sorry, when she started messing with Tara's brain, when she starts going in there and doing brain magic and like fully abusing her, I was like, what are you doing to my beautiful Willow? But then they have the audacity to get them back together just in time for Tara to get fucking killed. They killed her. They couldn't just break them up. They had to kill her, and she had to hold her. And it was just mean. It was really, really mean. And I don't know why they had to do that. I don't know why we had to do that. I don't know why the creators and the writers felt like this was pain we all needed to live through. And so my thesis today is that if I was granted the power to go back in time and save any fictional lesbian TV relationship, 100% it would be Willow and Tara. And I think if we lived in a world where Willow and Tara found everlasting love, that I too, Lauren Brickman, would find everlasting love. But since that didn't happen, I don't know that it will happen for me, because it couldn't happen for them. And that is my thesis today. I'm deeply unwell. Wow. So thoughts about Willow and Tara and or other fictional lesbian couples you want to go back in a time machine and save? That's my question for you all.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
and we've got a lot riding on this.
That's a lot. There's a lot there. I know I threw a lot at you all. Sometimes I forget if this is a podcast or therapy. And so I do.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think you would have gone off on that much of an insane tangent and rant none of that storyline happened. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think they did a good job, because.
Wow. Compelling.
Because you're still thinking about it, and it's touching your heart in a way that is real. Mm-hmm. And so I think they kind of did what they were supposed to do. As traumatic as it was, and I am sorry for your trauma, but I think they kind of nailed it by you having this just immense reaction to the entire situation. So I'm going to say they nailed the storyline, but I will say, you know, here's the hot take from a lesbian. Okay. When you're watching a show and there's a hot couple, actually, I'm not going to speak for all lesbians. Well, yeah, I am. Why not? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who cares? I speak for all of us. And we do want them to succeed. But for me, I'm always kind of into one more than the other. And as you said, if they break up, even though they're fictional characters, I then can imagine with my fan fiction and all that shit, me with that person.
Makes sense. Yep.
So breakups sad for me. And maybe I just don't like happy endings where people like become happy. But when they break up, then I'm like for me, I know the L word is like whatever, but it was pivotal for all of us lesbians. It was just the only thing we had. But when Carmen and Shane broke up, I was like, yes, Carmen is single. She's by far the hottest person alive. And so in my head, I was like, what, Morgan can date? You know what I mean? It's just like the. But also, I will say that breakup in Buffy the Vampire Slayer was very upsetting. But both of them were so goddamn hot. That at the end of the day, I was like, oh, now they're both single. And then Tara died. And then I was like, well, we have one left that I can imaginarily be with. There's my hot take.
Right.
I get that. I appreciate that hot take. I really do. That, you know, when you break up an iconic couple, it leaves space for you to imagine yourself in there.
Yeah.
I get that. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, to me, one of the saddest parts is I feel like Amber Benson should have a bigger career.
Yes. Because once they killed
her off as Tara, I mean, I know she consistently works. She's still an actor, but like, I don't know. And she was the best singer. I mean, she really carried that musical episode, her and Mr. Anthony Head.
Oh, I guess she does a lot of writing.
Yeah, I think she's kind of more of a filmmaker, which is maybe her chosen path. But for me, I would choose to see her on a big network. You know what? I know she did have a part on Private Practice, but it's time. It's time to bring her in, call her up. Time for her to be a doctor on Grey's Anatomy.
I just got chills.
And then maybe chills. Allison Hannigan can do a guest. She will never join the cast, but she could do a guest.
A guest.
And they are exes or something, and they fall back in love.
Wow. Just switch the network and the TV show. Bring them back.
Yeah.
Just slide them on over.
I love that.
Honestly, just dare Joss Whedon to sue you. Be like, you, Joss Whedon, should not be in the news for suing Shonda Rhimes. So stay out of it. We're bringing back Willow and Tara, but they're now doctors.
What? Instead of slaying vampires, they're one saving.
Is alive.
Yeah. I love that. Or bring the storyline with them. You know? So Grey's Anatomy then like becomes a real fun vampire. There's a vampire storyline that happens. I'm into that.
I love that. I think there should be more nostalgic casting. They did that one episode of Grey's when the women from Charmed were sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I want more of that. In fact, now that you mentioned the L word, like, I want to see, like, bring them all to Grey's Anatomy. I want to see Jennifer Beals. I want to see Pam Grier. I want to see Rose Roth. I want to see the whole cast of The L Word on Grey's Anatomy next season. Grey's Anatomy season 18, aka The L Word, is what I want. But what I really want is to see them all playing doctors and for it to feel like it's just like a high budget fan fiction.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? It's like, we're bringing back The L Word, but now they're all doctors.
Yeah, just slap them all into the Grey's Anatomy universe.
That's so funny. Oh my God. That's, you know what they'd call it? Gay's Anatomy.
Wow.
All right.
Should I go now? Is now when I should leave? It's now when I go.
Yeah, wow.
Now is when you get your crown. We're going to crown you. This is why you're allowed to speak for all lesbians. There we go. That's why, that right there.
Gay's Anatomy.
Wow. Gay's Anatomy.
Wow. Gay's Anatomy. Wow. I think we've really done great work here today.
Everyone is like, is this a porn or what's happening?
Well, I was going to say, I was about to Google Gay's Anatomy to see if it's out there. And then I was like, I can't have that in my search history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that'll take me somewhere that I don't need to be. Well, Morgan, this was so much fun. Before we say goodbye, are there any famous lesbian breakups or makeups that we didn't touch on today that you were like, oh, I have to mention this before I go? Or is there anyone, you know, who's your Kelly and Rosie that you want to see get back together? Any final thoughts from you?
Oh my God. Again, horrible at names and all of that kind of stuff. But I think I'm not like rooting right this moment for any couples. I'm not trying for them to break up. I think if you listen to my podcast, Famously Dumped, I'm not in a really great place to analyze anyone's relationship at all, but I'm learning how to get dumped. So that's great. But I don't have a lot of stakes riding in celebrities, like togetherness in general. So I don't think I have.
That's
I'm
healthy.
Also just, it's, yeah, it's health. I mean, I just am like, whatever. And I also, I'll say this. Do you guys know what smut is? It's like erotica.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm with
so,
you.
So I've just kind of been on the erotica train where I've been reading some lesbian smut, which, God, I have to hate to say this, but a girl I hooked up with who's Gen Z turned me onto it. And and so, I don't know. I'm more into imagining my own characters in my own mind than attaching to the celebrity world. Because it's too...
I love that.
It's too fake. You know what I mean? That's the thing. We look at the Instagrams and the da-da-da-das and that. And I'm just like, I don't know what's real. I don't need to know what's real. But once when the day comes that I'm putting mine on Instagram, you better believe I'm going to be the happiest person in the world. All of it's real. All my Instagram.
Oh, amazing. Well, speaking of your Instagram, now that our stands have fallen in stand with you, where can they find you online or maybe in person?
Amazing. MorganMiller17, MorganMiller17 is my Instagram. That's where you're going to find all the info, all the fun stuff, all my shows that are coming up. I did kind of blow up on TikTok, Morgan Miller Talks, TOKS. So go follow me over there. And then I am bringing Dirty Laundry, which was a show in New York, to Los Angeles. And I don't know when this is going to come out, but if you are in LA, we're doing a huge benefit blowout show to start us off. It's August 26th at the Airline. And then it will be every other Thursday, and it's called Dirty Laundry, and you can follow me and all of that. And the Instagram for Dirty Laundry will be on there as well. But we're doing a big blowout show, and we're going to benefit Black and Pink, which helps incarcerated LGBT community. So it's going to be awesome. Wow. So if any of your listeners are in Los Angeles, get tickets. That they're going to be released probably this week. I don't know when this episode's going to be released. But yeah, I would love people to come to that. And it's going to be a huge night. And we're going to have a DJ. It's going to be a whole thing. So there you go.
Well, you heard her, awesome. LA. You better go out to get some dirty laundry. That sounds so fun. Awesome. Well, Morgan, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for going on this absolutely insane journey with us today.
It was a beautiful journey. I want to thank you so much for having me as someone who is a real dum-dum to pop culture and names and shit. And thank you for having me. I hope I was at least entertaining. But this was wonderful. I learned a lot. So thank you for having me. I feel like as professors, I need you guys to know that I learned a lot. And I do appreciate
you. Wow. That's why we do this.
Yeah. RateMyProfessor.com. I'm coming for you. And given
thank you so much.
Given 5 stars.
I could use a couple. I've got some weird ones on there, so could use a few more.
Another weird one.
You know, guys.
Yeah.
In conclusion, TikTok, you don't stop. Bye, Stan Stans.
Bye, y'all.
Together.